Hello, and welcome to our Inside Consulting podcast series. I'm your host, Bryony Turley, and I'm part of the Talent Attraction and Acquisition team here at EY. Here, we share one central purpose, to build a better working world. We empower our people with the right mindsets and skills to navigate what's next, become the transformative leaders the world needs, pursue careers as unique as they are, and build their own exceptional EY experiences. This podcast series focuses on our consulting service line and covers a range of topics. You'll learn how we're transforming businesses through the power of people, technology, and innovation. Each episode brings together our people, sharing their career stories and perspectives about what it's like to work at EY. We hope each episode leaves you feeling inspired and considering a career with us. In today's episode, I'll be speaking to Amy Taggart and Kira Burke about their roles within our finance teams. Hi, Kira and Amy. Thank you for joining us today. How are you both?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you. Excellent.
I'm looking forward to our conversation today. We're going to be chatting all things finance consulting. So to kick us off, let's start with some intros. A lot of our listeners will be thinking, what is finance consulting? Could you both share a little bit about what you do in more detail, please?
So is it worth me giving a little introduction to myself first and about how I came to be here?
Yeah, I think both of you, if you wouldn't mind starting with a bit on your background and your experience prior to EY.
Sure. So, hello everyone, I am Kira Burke. I am a senior manager within the business consulting practice in UK and I, so non-financial services, but Amy's representing financial services for us today. So I started EY, gosh, quite a long time ago now, with an internship in 2006, which sounds good. And I actually started in FS, Banking Capital Markets Audit. So I spent some time there qualifying to become a chartered accountant. And that's actually where I got to know Amy. So we both know each other from kind of our originations of our career. So I then decided after sort of 6 years in financial services that I wanted a new challenge and that really I wanted to help clients solve problems. And that's why consulting seemed like a good fit for me. So I moved into our UK and I practice because I wanted to do something a little bit different from financial services. Initially, I was thinking sort of products and services, but actually I've ended up working mostly in government, which I really enjoy. So now I spend most of my time in our public finance team within finance, supporting our government clients with a range of challenges around finance and commercial as well. So that is a little bit about me, but in terms of a personal context, I've got a lot to be grateful for EY for. I actually met my husband on the grad scheme all those years ago, now I have a little boy and I work part-time, so I work 3 days a week. So all good, and I returned after mat leave during this new strange world we find ourselves in, virtual working. It's actually been really positive for me because I get to be around my little boy more. So that's been a benefit for me and the ability to work more flexibly. So that's a little bit about me.
I think we'll cover off a bit about how COVID has changed how we've working. In a little while, but Amy, what's your background? So you started off on the similar grad scheme.
Not the same grad scheme, but it just shows how small the world is, isn't it, Kira? So similarly to yourself, I obviously am homegrown at EY, to use that term. So I joined the firm back, I think, in 2009 as an intern, and similarly to Kira, as she mentioned, it was in the assurance practice, I definitely gained a lot during those years in audit, qualifying as a chartered accountant, really building up my technical knowledge. And then a few years after joining that team and qualifying, I guess I just knew finance consulting was my next step because I felt like it gave me a really great opportunity to use that built up knowledge, but in much more of a, I suppose, transformation capacity. So now I'm a director in the finance consulting team, which sits in business consulting for financial services. And what I mean by financial services is really it spans across banking and capital markets, insurance, but also massively our wealth and asset management organisations. So we work really closely with our clients in these areas to essentially support them to transform their finance functions. So we help them to leverage data and technology in new ways and to implement lots of exciting new solutions across their global footprint. So it's really an exciting team to be part of. In terms of our key focus areas, we do things like process optimization. We're building out our reg reporting capability. We do a lot of tech and data implementations. But more generally, my focus is a lot around finance transformation, including operating model design and implementation. So it's really great. And I suppose then also from a personal perspective, I have also just had a little boy, which is another similarity, Kira. And I just returned from mat leave about a month ago. He's in full-time nursery, so I'm really enjoying. I'm actually in the office today, being back in the office and having that flexibility of managing my own diary and working from home and working from the office when I see fit.
Brilliant. So you've both touched on it a little bit around the transformation piece and being a main focus. But for anybody who's wondering what is finance consulting, could you share that in a little bit more detail? How would you kind of explain that to somebody?
What is finance consulting? So ultimately, our customer is the CFO. So we're supporting the CFO with making their function as good as it can be. And I think there are similarities across FS and UK and I. Our clients are just, you know, serving different sectors. So within the UK and I team, we do operating model transformations. So helping, you know, redefine how the organization functions from understanding the kind of the strategy for the organization, the policy they set, the processes that they run, the data technology, and the capability of their people. A really interesting element in that is that we are now recognizing that given that everyone is talking about sustainability, every organization is going to need to undertake some kind of sustainability transformation. We are now pivoting our core finance transformation solution in terms of an operating model to say, how does that operating model now need to stand up to help our CFOs serve their organization as best as they can and add value in this new world that we're seeing of sustainability transformation? That's a really interesting change that we're working through now. Really exciting. But we also support in terms of GBS, Global Business Services, previously known as Shared Services, help organisations stand up those. And we do Agile Business Finance and Enterprise Intelligence. So, you know, using technology to help improve the way that finance can support the wider business. So those are a little bit about us. And then, as I mentioned, public finance is the area that I spend most of my time in, and public finance is an area that in government the demand is sometimes different for what they want from us. It's not necessarily always a big finance transformation project. A lot of the work that we see is around business case support, so helping the government write business cases that are approved by the Green Book business case methodology issued by HM Treasury. So we help them write business cases for really fascinating projects that the government wants to do. So that's kind of one area that we provide help with in government, and also a lot of work around grants. So really interesting stuff.
Brilliant. And then Amy, from an FS perspective, does the type of work that finance consulting is, you know, labelled as, does that differ, or is it very similar to what Kira's talked us through?
I think she's covered it great. I think there's so many similarities. As, you know, as Kira said, it's just servicing a different sector, right? So we very much focus on similar things, you know, helping our clients to use different technologies, whether they be more traditional technologies like ledger implementations, ERP implementations, or more innovative solutions to solve more of our clients' sort of discrete problems, such as data visualization tools, etc. So I think they're very similar, if I'm being honest. But obviously our clients are very different, and the sort of regulatory focus on the financial services sector, I guess, is more relevant there. But yeah, I'd say they're quite similar. Kira, I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think the big difference you just touched upon at the end there, which is the reg focus. So we're not, as you know, in corporates, there are various different regs, but financial services is so heavily regulated now, and it seems to just it continue to increase. I think that is quite a big focus area for you guys that we don't have.
Yeah, and obviously through the pandemic, there was lots of changes to the regulators and some of the mandatory change initiatives and the supervisory reviews that were happening. So we did have to act, you know, very quickly to help our clients sort of navigate what was important during that time. So that was a huge focus for us as COVID hit, obviously.
So just going back again to the beginning a little bit, initially, when you both first joined EY, what was it that had attracted you to EY, the firm? What was it about us that sort of made this the place you wanted to have your careers?
I think for me, if I'm being completely honest, when I was doing my internship, I met so many people in the team, and genuinely, it sounds probably quite cheesy, but that is what sold me to the firm. And it's still true to this day, because if you think about it, consulting is really about relationships. So it's about working with different people, working with your clients and helping them to solve problems. And I just felt like I really clicked with the team, and I knew that I was going to enjoy my time with the firm. Again, I know that how cheesy that sounds, but it's
no,
true.
No, it's a big deal, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, I know we'll talk about COVID in more detail, but that it showed me how important that was to me when you are, you know, when you are at home by yourself. So that was one of the key factors, I think. And I think another thing, if I talk about finance consulting more specifically, I think what I really love about EY is that we have such a combined go-to-market approach. And what I mean by that is we have obviously a huge business consulting team and obviously a huge technology consulting team. And I love the fact that both of our teams work together. So we help to solve our clients' problems with both lenses, business knowledge and technical skills. And that's something I think really differentiates us. And I absolutely love it, because it means that it's a combined approach, and I feel like we're helping our clients in the best way possible.
So why did I originally join EY? So like Amy's point, it definitely was a people-related reason. I found the people that I worked with on the internship brilliant, really fun. In fact, I think I kind of before that thought that you could only be, you know, you could be either really, really clever or really, really fun. And then I discovered that at EY, everyone was both. So that was interesting. But and I think that I found throughout my time at EY that people was a really important aspect of what made us different as a firm, and was the consistent feedback that I've had from clients that makes us different. We don't just do something to our clients, we work with them. I think that helps us be different. And I think what's changed over sort of the last 4 or 5 years perhaps is that people culture has just changed from just being about people to being something bigger, and our purpose of building a better working world is something that is really resonating through everything that we do now. And I think that helps us have a real sense that the work that we do is leading to a greater good. And I think that resonates with a lot of our people, and helps us feel like a kind of community of people making change, which is great.
Yeah, I think the collaborative way of working across EY is something that, as you say, really differentiates us. Then combine that with the culture and the teaming and things like that, I understand why you both joined. So just moving on a little bit, so we've touched on it, we've talked about COVID-19 and obviously the impact that that's had on us and businesses all around the world, individuals as well, and nobody can deny that impact. So how has it accelerated change within your industry, do you think, this last year?
Sure. So within my industry, I mean, so for me, public finance is my area of focus, and obviously government have been massively impacted by COVID, and it's resulted in a lot of changes. One of the areas that I'm focusing on now is around supporting clients to decarbonize their estates, their property estates. And so actually COVID has been a huge catalyst in driving change in how buildings are used. And so we're supporting clients build and do modelling around decarbonisation of their estates and building business cases for the activity they need to implement to decarbonise. So COVID has made a huge impact, I think, in helping drive what people wanted to see anyway, you know, a move towards more flexible working. COVID has for sure had a huge impact. And
definitely. And Amy, what about yourselves? How have you seen COVID accelerating things within the FS industry?
I mean, it's an interesting question. Clearly, the pandemic has been such a global stress event, right? That's tested all of us, not just clients. But with them, with regard to them specifically, I suppose it's been a massive test of all of their different resilience, whether it be financial, operational, commercial, etc. So what we've seen the FS sector have to do is prioritize certain operational activities to make sure they can actually keep their core businesses going, business activities going. So as a result of that, we've seen lots of different shifts in like implementation dates of programs, and we've seen, like I mentioned earlier, postponing of various supervisory reviews and everything. So we've had to act quickly as a firm to make sure we can help our clients to really navigate what's important and what should take priority from at this time. So not so much change per se, but sort of shifting of priorities and just taking stock and making sure that they can keep their core business activities going. We've had to support extremely hard in the past couple of years or so now.
Brilliant. And then you've both touched on the types of clients that you work with. So Kira, you said a lot about government and public finance, Amy, wealth and asset management, things like that. What other types of clients and industries do the broader finance consulting teams work with?
So in FS, it's obviously a huge part of our portfolio is banking and capital markets. Insurance is absolutely massive. WAM, so what I mentioned earlier, is one of our key growth areas in finance consulting within financial services. So there are sort of three key sectors, and you can work across them all as a member of the team, which is great.
Yeah, so from a UK and I perspective, we have energy, GPS, which is government and public services. We have products and services and TMT, telecommunications, media and technology. So those are some of the areas that kind of we focus on.
Perfect. So we cover absolutely everything. Have you both in your careers here, have you worked on a particular project that you would say was your favourite? Anything that was particularly interesting that you enjoyed working on?
So obviously we've probably both worked on quite a lot of projects. But I do actually have a favourite. A couple of years ago did a 3-year implementation where I got the opportunity to work with a brilliant client and a huge team. And I suppose for me, the best thing about it was that I got to see it from start to finish. And quite often in consulting, you tend to join for a particular part of a project. So whether it's the implementation of a solution or whether it's the business readiness and making sure that the business is ready to take on the new process as an example, or whether you're in the design phase, so really articulating the business requirements, you tend to sort of dip in and out of different phases. Whereas this project was brilliant because I got the opportunity to support the design all the way through to the implementation and ultimately then transition to a BAU team where we built a managed service function to take over the day-to-day running. So it's just fantastic to see it from start to finish, and I have to say, like, it felt really satisfying. And I mean, don't get me wrong, there was clearly some stressful periods, but overall, I really enjoyed it.
And rewarding, like you say, to see it come to fruition. Yeah, Kira, what about yours? Your favourite?
So I'm going to touch again on this net zero program because it's just been so fascinating, and sustainability has always been a really important passion for me. I study geography at university, so looking after the world's always been something that I've been keen to do. So since coming back from mat leave, I started a project with government to help them build this business case for decarbonising their offices. So we supported them in kind of building out their strategy for it, understanding the economic case. So it's interesting, in government you have to think not only about, can this department afford to do it? It's actually a bigger question of, is this the right thing for the UK? So that's your economic case. So we weren't just looking at the costs, we were looking at what are the benefits to society of decarbonising. So that was really interesting. And then, you've got to look at the procurement strategy, what kind of complex supply chain do you need in order to install certain complex interventions? It's not your normal go out to your regular supplier and buy, some new light bulbs. We're talking about putting solar panels on roofs and there's lots of considerations around that. So and a number of other things. So that was really fascinating. And then we helped them, you know, get ready to deliver a program, help them set up the program, etc. So that was really fascinating. And then we actually went on to help the government write a net zero playbook for decarbonising the wider public estate that, you know, organisations beyond the department that we worked in will be able to benefit from. So a lot of really, really interesting work. So that was a great project to have led.
Fabulous. You guys are working on some really exciting things and have worked on exciting things historically. But what sort of challenges have you faced, do you think, in your careers here? What have been the more difficult parts, maybe?
Well, I can kick off. So I think for me, the main thing is probably like the competing priorities of different clients, like especially if you've got a few different projects underway at the same time. And the usual sort of things, like there's always going to be a time where there's a tight deadline, right, where you're working across the globe, different time zones, you're trying to implement a what we call like a standardized solution across very different markets. So there's always going to be challenges with ways of working and that sort of thing. But I have to say that's probably some of the things I like best.
Yeah, I guess really it's a working learning curve as well,
exactly,
isn't it?
Teachers, yeah,
should think for the next
exactly
time around.
Yeah, precisely.
Perfect. Kira, have you thought of any particular challenges or echoing the same as Amy?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are always challenges in what we do, right? We work and we support our clients with, you know, some of the most difficult challenges that they have. Otherwise, they wouldn't come to us. So I find, you know, there's always a steep learning curve on some of the projects that you end up on. But what's great, I think, is the variety in the challenges that we get. Why I know that I don't particularly want to work in industry is because you know often end up doing the same kind of monthly processes over and over again depending on what you do. But I love the fact that I get to do such a huge range of projects, and I take the themes that I've learned from one project, apply them to the other, but then link in with some great people in EY who've done something different, and we bring that together. So sometimes it can feel a little bit like, you know, you're constantly pushing yourself. But I like that. I think that's great, and I think the support network we have within EY is great, and the wealth of knowledge and experience that you can tap into means it's just a great opportunity to constantly learn.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. So then if we could just talk perhaps a little bit about some of the misconceptions maybe that people have of the role. Kira, you talked about the fact that you came into EY, you started off in audit, and that's kind of where you did your training. So what skills do you think you need to have to work within finance consulting, FS or UKI?
So I think there's two things. Finance, core finance knowledge, really helpful, and doing audit was brilliant for that. Or, you know, people who are in the industry who want to join, always really welcome, because you've got really fantastic finance knowledge. But then there's something that I see from the people who come up through the through our consulting grad program, which took me a while to kind of catch up with, is that ability to communicate really clearly, effectively, to present information in a really clear and concise way. And I think it's those two things that make a really good consultant. Those are my thoughts. Amy, what would you say?
I'd answer it in a very similar way. So for me, there's always two sides of this, right? So there's the content, is exactly what you've just said. There's the general knowledge of finance, as well as sort of finance technology solutions knowledge, that sort of thing. But for me, agreed, it's that personal capability. And what I mean by that is exactly that, as well as sort of interpersonal, also relationship building skills, problem solving, networking, communication, being part of a team. You know, they sound like buzzwords, but they're so important. They really do help, you know, build confidence in people, right? So I think it's a balance between the content perspective as well as that personal capability.
And I actually think the more senior you become, the more important that those soft skills are. And then it becomes okay to say, do you know what, I'm not an expert in that area, but it's okay because I know someone who is, and you bring that person in.
Yeah.
And whereas when you're more junior, it always feels like you kind of need to know everything. So yeah, it is an interesting and fine balance between the two, but both are really important.
Yeah, Excellent. I would definitely agree with that. And then we use a lot of technology to inform and support our clients. What types of technology do you work with predominantly? Obviously, we've all had a huge shift this last year, 18 months in the communication platforms that we use. Is that the main sort of technology that you guys work with?
I think maybe it's also important to talk about the sort of technology we help our clients with as well, Bryony. Mm. So we very much, I'd say we're probably a technology agnostic team. And what I mean by that is we work with a huge range of different technologies. So the more traditional areas, like I mentioned earlier, like ERP implementations. Also, we're doing some brilliant projects at the moment where we're supporting our clients to migrate onto the cloud. And then we also support our clients with more discrete business problems, and we use quite exciting technologies like robotics and visualization tools, data analytics. So the range is fantastic. It's really brilliant.
Fabulous. And then you talked about the teams and how we sort of communicating with each other and our colleagues. And you've both already said about the collaborative environment of EY. So do you find yourselves collaborating regularly with teams, other teams across the UK, perhaps other service lines, other locations?
Yes, definitely. And I do. And that's what I've had clients say to me is the value that EY brings. It's the wealth of experience that we've got across different teams. So for some of the work that I've been delivering, it's not just business consulting, but we've got our specialist modelling team and economic advisory team. We're working with our decode all the acronyms.
All the acronyms, I know.
I don't think I'm going to achieve decoding them all. But that's the benefit of working with EY from a client's perspective. We've got hundreds of thousands of people across the globe. So actually what I'm doing at the moment is reaching out to people, not just in EMEA, but in the Americas, in Oceania, to try and get the best knowledge that we have as a global firm to help our clients. So it's brilliant, and it's great to be part of, because we as individuals then get to kind of learn from the best across the world.
Yeah, the subject matter experts. And as you said before, a good kind of security blanket. If you are dealing with a client, you say, I don't know about that. We can definitely find somebody that knows about something, can't we? Whatever the
exactly.
question is, there'll be somebody. Mm-hmm. So then the finance team, UKI and FS, is growing. We've been doing a huge amount of hiring for the teams over this last year or so and prior to that as well. So what would you say is the reason why it's a great area to work in? Why is it a good part of the business to come into?
So I'd echo what you're saying. So from an FS perspective, I think we're looking to grow our practice by about 30% next year, which is incredibly exciting, recruitment-wise. And we have a number of different things in the pipeline at the moment to help us to do this. So for that book of works, we have really ambitious wealth and asset management plans, which are really exciting. And also we're focusing heavily on our FP&A capability. So that 30% is really exciting to be part of. And there's really huge growth prospects in FS Finance Consulting, which is great to see.
So I think we have similar growth aspirations in UK and I. I think we've been, since COVID's hit, we've been the busiest we've ever been, as we've been helping with numerous challenges our clients and the government are facing. Again, for us, an area that we're looking for in particular is sustainability experience in finance professionals, but it's a bit of a niche area, I think. So we are looking for that. But just more broadly, strong finance professionals who are interested in consulting and want to work in sort of corporates and government. We're looking for you basically. So if you want to apply, we'd like to hear from you.
Send your CVs in ASAP. So then on a personal perspective, you both mentioned about the fact that you've returned back from maternity leaves, you've obviously got home commitments as well as work commitments. How has virtual working impacted your style from a professional and perhaps also a personal point of view? Has it changed things for you at all?
So for me, yeah, it's been really positive. I know that isn't the case for a lot of people. A lot of people have found it really difficult being at home all the time. I'm very lucky, but yeah, definitely has been a change in that I've kind of feel like I've made really good friends with my new team, many of whom I had never met before. So I've never actually physically met them because I still haven't been into the office yet. And I think actually something like 60% of our department haven't yet been into the office this year. So yeah, and I think since COVID, so it's still a high percentage that haven't returned. And within our department, we're now looking at going back on a kind of 2 to 3 day a week basis, but it's the prospect is that it's going to be quite flexible, so that if you don't feel comfortable to return, you don't have to. I think it was something like 70% of people felt that that the concept of returning to work 5 days a week was uncomfortable for them, for whatever reason. So we are definitely seeing long-term change as a result. So what has it meant to me? So one thing is I'm dyslexic, so I can very easily lose thread of the question that you've asked, which is why I had to remind myself there. But actually, you know, working virtually is positive for that. I think I've got time to kind of take time away, catch up on things. So yeah, that's good.
Well, I was going to ask you both about your teams and how you've kind of forged those relationships with some people entirely online. So how has finance and finance consulting managed to create a sense of belonging for everybody whilst they're working from home? Have you been having a lot of their regular team meetings? Have there been socials? What's been the belonging angle for finance?
So from our perspective, in UK and I, yeah, we have regular breakfast sessions monthly to kind of keep up to date with what's happening. And we try to encourage teams to have, you know, socials together. So yeah, we've tried to keep up a sense of community. So that's good.
The dreaded teams quizzes that we all overdid the first few months.
So I think I missed that because I missed that very first wave where quizzes were so popular. Because I was on mat leave. But I think one thing that has definitely been recognised is that flexible working is brilliant, particularly for focused working, and for potentially one-to-one meetings with a client, it still can work really, really well.
Yeah.
But collaboration is much better in person, and team building is much better in person. So I think that's why we're seeing the move towards this hybrid model where hopefully can retain the best of both.
Definitely. And then Amy, what about you? What's your team done to kind of instill belonging in members?
I mean loads. I think we have things like daily team catch-ups. Yeah, we have a load of social events. The social committee have probably never been busier, obviously in a much more challenging time. We have done the quizzes, of course we have. We do loads of like lunch and learns, that sort of thing. I think it helps because obviously everyone's in the same position. And I have to say, just coming back from maternity leave, the team, I am, like I mentioned, I'm in the office today, but that's because it was my choice. I think everyone is so flexible, and it's back to Kira's point around people not being comfortable going in. That's absolutely fine. And there's no pressure on anyone whatsoever. It's sort of what works for you, because for a lot of people that, you know, being in the office will work for them. And other people would prefer to be at home full time. So that has been brilliant because it's really down to you, and you can choose what works best for your schedule. So that's great.
EY's always been so flexible anyway, hasn't it? This is just kind of taking it up another level, which is why we've probably enjoyed it.
One of the really exciting things I think that's come out of COVID and flexible working is, from a consulting perspective, the degree to which we're now opening the doors to people who might not have been able to access this type of career before because of the need to work away from home. So I remember interviewing people before all of this, and having to have honestly to people, you know, yes, you do need to be prepared to work away from home potentially 3 days a week. you know, 3-4 days a week. And if that's not realistic, then you might not enjoy working here, you know. Yeah. Whereas, and I was preparing myself mentally to come back from work thinking, I've got a little child, work will try to help you make sure that you can meet your needs, but ultimately if you're in this career you have to expect that you're going to be away from home for some of the time. And yet I haven't been away at all. So I think that this change has really opened the doors to many more people, not just working moms, working parents, people who need to be home for other caring responsibilities or other reasons, now have an opportunity to kind of take on this career when before it might not have been an option for them.
And even if it's not a personal commitment per se, you know, a commitment to your own mental health and well-being, it's given people so much more flexibility to, you know, kind of pursue exercise, hobbies, other interests, things that previously might have been on the back burner when you're kind of committed to the 9 to 5.
Exactly. And that's really exciting for us too, because as we try to increase our diversity, we can access a new group of people who, you know, before might not have seen this as an option for them, then that's going to help us, you know, get new opinions, new thoughts in our team, which is great.
Absolutely. I was on a call a few weeks ago and the speaker said, if you only ever look out of one window, you only ever get one view. And I thought, oh, that's a really interesting way to sort of frame the reasons behind having a diverse workforce. Why is it important? Why does it matter? So, yeah, you've touched on some very good points. So just sort of almost coming to the final bit of it then. So for those that are interested in joining finance within EY specifically, could you each share one piece of advice for them about starting a career at EY Finance?
I'm happy to go first. So I think maybe it's a really simple answer, but for me, at any level, it's you're in consulting. So there's going to be times where your role might not be a perfect little role that you thought you would have to do. I guess my only advice would be genuinely throw yourself in. You can make any role your own. You can turn it into something much bigger and different. I've been in many situations over my past 12 years where I didn't think I was probably the best person for the job. But I may, you know, well, hopefully I did a good job at it. So, yeah, just sort of throw yourself in and try not to say no to anything. Obviously, there's some things you should say no to, but yeah, just you can make any role your own.
Fabulous. And Kira, what would your one piece of advice be?
I think grow your network internally. So take the option to meet people outside of your direct area of expertise. Make the best of the networks that are available within the firm. We've got a phenomenal number of networks. Like, you know, for sort of diversity and inclusion, for learning, for all sorts. So the bigger your network, the bigger your collective knowledge, right? So that would be my tip.
Amazing. Excellent. Well, listen, thank you both so much for your time today. It's been really great to find out more about you, your career, and both of your roles at EY. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're feeling inspired and want to find out more about a consulting career at EY, search EY Careers in Consulting online. Thank you for listening and take care.